Amen. All right, this is what we're going to do right now. Testimony, Jesus, Spirit of Prophecy. We're going to declare and rejoice together over things that you've been able to have victory in the name of Christ in this week, okay? One specific to this week and today. What has God given you a victory over this week that you can shout His name in that voice of triumph? What have you been overcome only by the blood of the Lamb and now in your word or your testimony? In the power of His Spirit, let's give testimony to what God has done. Victory. Just like one minute, just testify of the victory God has given. Just raise your hand. I'll come to you. Oh, you're on up the aisle? I'll
hold it. So last night, we had some relatives over at our house. We hadn't seen them in a year, and the wife had asked for prayer for her eye. She had scratched her cornea, and she was healed of that. And we praise God for that. But even beyond the physical healing, what the Holy Spirit had revealed to us, that there was a situation that they were in that was a parallel between that vision that was starting to cloud up in her eye and things that were going on in the spirit. Mm-hmm. So we just, the testimony is praise for the exposing of what the works of the enemy were, and we prayed against that, and now we know, you know, what we need to intercede for. Amen. For full victory for the entire family.
Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome.
Oh. I just want to thank the Lord for moments when I have felt lonely this week, and the Holy Spirit just came and gave me a hug. Literally, I felt a hug from the Lord and healed me of that lonely feeling that I was feeling. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. What have you been able to shout the voice of triumph over?
During intercessory prayer this morning, sharing Tommy's testimony and ours, he felt like there was some congestion. And so we prayed that the congestion that was in the spirit realm would be gone and that the sign of it would be him healed. And he was 100% healed on one side and 80%. Oh, now we're at 90% healed, so the Lord heals.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Okay, I didn't want to say anything, but my heart was racing, so I guess I have to. The Lord told me. Well, he took the chains off of drinking. But you have to be willing, too, so you have to get back. But the chains have been torn off, and I don't even know what else to say, but I've been to like 85 parties, and all the time there's drinking and everything, Lord. But he could take any addiction away, whether it's lying or anything, or addiction or substance abuse or anything like that. But the Lord can do these things.
Amen.
Computers, pornography, everything.
Amen.
You can overcome it. Trust
Amen.
Me. Because if I can do it, anybody can.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a glory. Testimony. Huh? Yes.
I guess my testimony for this week is that God has gotten me through it. But I have a quick story of the fact that I give out books to birthday kids or toys, and a child on their own, there was a book about God, and they had taken it, and it's a family friend, and I said, "Are you sure you want this? Are you allowed to have it?" So the principals came back and said, "You know, I got called into the office." So they said I had to give a different book to the child, but that child was very upset because her father is dying of brain cancer. And I talked to the mom, who I'm friends with, and the mom said, "Yeah, you know, she really wants that book." And then that said mom, after the show, was really upset, and she was telling me what was going on, and here I was, and I just got yelled at at school for letting a child choose her own book. And just right away, I said, "You know, Tommy, Tracy, come here, let's pray for her." And not until like the end of the prayer did I realize, oh, Cradola, I'm in my cafeteria, and where's my principal? But I listened to God, and we prayed for her. And it was really a beautiful thing.
Amen.
I'll be fired probably.
All right, so if I start crying, it's tears of joy. I have been very sad because of the loss of But God has gotten me past and said to me that you don't have to stay sad. You can miss her, but you don't have to stay sad. And he has given me joy. This morning he was just like, whoosh, slapped it up inside me. I'm sorry if I overflowed to you guys. I'm not sorry. I'm glad. and I just want to say that it's been awesome to be able to feel his joy even through sadness.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
I just want to thank God for getting me through a medical procedure this week, and I'm just praying now for good news and a good report. And I'd also like to thank God, too, for healing my cat, even though he's not 100% better, he's about 10% better. But I just want to praise God for that and pray for continued healing.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
I just want to give praise to God. My prayers have been changing. I've been praying for my brother and other members of the family to come to God. I've been praying for different things. My prayers are changing now because it's beginning to be more about binding and loosing.
Amen.
And those things that would keep them from coming to God.
Amen. 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 Did I miss somebody? There you are. Okay.
I just want to thank God for yesterday that I was in a situation I didn't like, and I picked up my grandkid and my nephew, and I said to Mark, we're going back to our house, and left my sisters, and I thank him for that.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Lord, we just thank you, God, for these testimonies, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just the joy that you're bringing within us this morning. We thank you, God, for how you've ministering to us and what you've taught us. And Lord, let us our joy in you become contagious, Father. Let it be contagious and overwhelming, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the testimony on this day, on this weekend, of those who gave up their lives for the sake of freedom. And Lord, we just ask as you comfort us and you bring us joy, that you would just surround their families, Lord God, and just bring them joy, and let the thoughts of their husbands and wives and children and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and grandparents, Lord God, be that of a testimony of love and a testimony of willing to fight for a freedom. Just like Jesus, you have given us. You fought for our freedom in you. So the glory is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just to reiterate a couple of quick things. Wednesday and Thursday night Bible studies or HD groups are being moved to Heensburg, if you didn't hear. Ideal Beach. And it's only going to be Wednesday, so it's going to be combined. So bring your towel, your chair, some insect repellent. If you want to bring a guitar, some bongos, if you play spoons, you can bring a tambourine. I don't care. Let's just celebrate the Lord on the beach. On Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, if you need directions, see us. And today is our Mission Sunday. You have your missions offering envelope, and the missions report is in the bulletin on the flip side of the sheet that has all the websites of the upcoming conferences and events. So with that being said, are we releasing children today? Okay. Raise your Bibles with me. Let's give glory to God. And would you stand up? And the kids are free to go to children's church. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We welcome you today, and as today we are concluding the series on the character qualities we're trying to build as a church within this body. We spent a lot of time talking about our vision and values, and now it's going to kind of culminate with this series on character qualities within that vision and values of our church. Because we're not here just to go to church. We're here to be who God created us to be. We're here to achieve what God has destined and has given us the vision to be as a church. We want the heart of God to come alive within our hearts. This is our purpose of being. And today we're going to talk about being dependable. Last week we talked about an overcoming spirit. Today we're talking about being dependable. Now you wonder, how is that a church character quality or a kingdom character quality? Well, we're going to find out. See, dependable, the word is defined as capable of being depended on, worthy of trust, reliable, trustworthy, trusted, steadfast, faithful, responsible. That's the way the dictionary defines someone who is dependable. But see, being dependable is more than being trustworthy. It's being entrusted to do something. See, Scripture, we see, talks about if you are faithful with a little, you'll be trusted with the more. See, if we're not faithful with the little bit that God gives us, there's no way He's going to trust us to handle the more He wants to give us. I remember growing up as a child, one of the things I realized within my family is in order for me to be dependable and earn my father's trust, I needed to communicate, especially when I go out to leave the house. If I want my father and my mom to be okay with me staying out late at night or later, I knew that at a certain point I needed to call and say, hey, this is where I am, this is what I'm doing, this is who I'm with, and this is when I think I'll be home if it's okay. Over time, that allowed them to trust me if I'm not going to get home till 2 in the morning. Why? Because they know they knew that I can be depended on. They knew that I would call and that I was mindful of the depth of that responsibility that I've been entrusted with. See, being entrusted with that, that carries a weight, a heavy weight of trust. If my mom and dad said, here, Mike, we are trusting you with this. And in that specific instance, it was time and responsibility. That means this is a weight I have to carry. And I have to be gentle. I have to be mindful and respectful of this weight I am carrying. See, my sister learned the hard way. The opposite of that is true. Constantly getting in trouble because she never learned that lesson. But it's the same thing with God. God has called us to a purpose. And we spend a lot of time talking about our purpose in this church, in our vision and values. He's given each one of us things to do, specific areas of ministry, with and without the church, outside of the church. He's given us burdens. But if we want these areas of ministry to grow and to flourish and to be entrusted with them more, we have to prove ourselves to God that we are dependable and worthy of what we have now. See, if we can't be one body unified in His Spirit and in His presence, honoring Him and doing exactly what He has called us to do right now, the way we are, He's not going to entrust us with the hearts and lives of others He wants to bring in. Because if we're not getting it right now in our training ground, how are we going to get it right when we have the more? He's trusting us. Therefore, it's us being now dependable to carry the weight that he's laid on. Now, the great thing is, we don't carry the weight alone. He says, take up my yoke, for it is easy. So his Spirit will help us carry through that weight, to carry this burden, but it's still on us. So let's look at three key things here. And I know there's a lot of ways we can go with this, but I want to just focus on three things today. Number one, dependability begins with our word. Your word sets the stage for dependability. Why? Because it reveals how you fulfill your word, reveals what's in the heart. See, it's a promise. It's a vow. What does God say about our word and why is it important to him? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 23, 21. When you make a vow to the Lord, your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. So when I make a promise, I have to realize when my word, when I speak something, make a vow to God, and really when I make a vow to you, I promise you something, I'm really making it unto God. It says, do these to the least of these, you do it unto me. It all connects here. I am now accountable for this. I am responsible. And I am meant to do it. Whatever it is, whether it's fulfilling a commitment to something that I say I will do, or telling your spouse you'll pick up, you know, milk on your way home from work, or telling your mom and dad, I promise I won't do this again, or I will do my very best not to do this again. Whatever it might be, it's unto God. Ezekiel 5, 1 through 5 says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. Be careful what you say. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay. That's the second time he says this. For he has no pleasures in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. It's better to let your words be few, your promises be few, your commitments be few, then say a bunch of things and only do a few of them. You know, we've all run into people who are just talkers. They talk a big game. They'll do this, they'll do that. They got this connection, they got that connection. And then when you say, oh, did you, I forgot to do it. God is not calling us to BS around, to put it bluntly. He's calling us to be honest. Let our words be what they are meant to be. Our promises be held with accountability and with weight. So part of my area of being dependable is to let my words speak the dependability of my heart, the trustworthiness of my heart. That you will get not just what you see out of me, but what you hear from me. Numbers 30, 1 through 3 says, then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind him by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. If you make a vow, you're making it to God. You don't break that. See, if we think about that, when we make that vow before God in marriage, and if we really recognize the weight that carries in God's heart, would so many people just decide to give up on their marriage? To give up on that relationship? Now, I'm not talking about situations of abuse and that kind of thing. But How many times do we hear, oh, I just stopped loving them? Really? Your accountability is to God, not to anything else. When you do that, when you make a vow to someone, remember, the vow goes to God first. Promise goes to God first. The commitment to do something. See, I want to, even within the church, I want to know when I say, hey, can you do this for me? I want to know that I don't have to think about it anymore, that you're going to get it done to the best of your ability. And if you can't, you're going to come back and talk to me about it. I want to be able to expect that. Just like my father needed to expect that if I'm going to be late on a Friday night, he's going to be getting a call from me at a decent hour to know where I am, what I'm doing, who I'm with, and why I'm going to be a little late. It's that trustworthiness that goes hand in hand with it. So why is that? Well, second thing is dependability reflects godly character. Think about that. Being dependable reflects the character of God, the heart of God. Well, how does that work? Well, keeping your vow is keeping your promise. That's a reflection of faithfulness, right? Who is faithful but the Lord our God? Who has been faithful through the generations, even when I haven't, but the Lord my God? Who has never left me or forsook me, even when I decided to walk the other way, but the Lord my God? Who has never given up on me, even when I gave up on Him, but the Lord my God? He is faithful. His name is faithful and true. So dependability reflects this character of faithfulness of God in our lives. See, we are created in His image. Therefore, if we are created in His image, and if the same Spirit that lived in Christ lives in us now, therefore we are called into faithfulness. We are called to be faithful. And that doesn't mean just to God, and I could care less about you. But by caring about the least of these and recognizing my faithfulness to God is a testimony in this world in my faithfulness to you. It becomes a testimony. It becomes a witness. It becomes a measure of who God is in me. His character built in me. That I am faithful. Why? Because the God of faithfulness, the one who is called faithful and true, lives in me. Therefore, His character is flowing out of me. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, "Therefore know, for the Lord your God, He is God, number one, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations, and those who love Him and keep to those who love them, with those who love Him and keep His commandments." He is faithful. I want you to think about those who we call prayer warriors. Those who we call people who we can depend on to intercede and pray. How many of us in this room have had somebody praying for us when we were way little bit? And even now today, still praying for us, staying faithful that we will enter into faithfulness. See, I am where I am today because the faithfulness of God to my grandfather, and then that carried into my father and my grandparents and my mom, those that have prayed for our generations to come have continued. You moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents who are praying right now in faithfulness, interceding for your grandkids and aunts and uncles and sons and daughters. I mean, nieces and nephews and sons and daughters. You know, you're reflecting the heart of God. And God does not forsake those prayers. He will be faithful to return and restore those things and strengthen those things. Psalms 36:5, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the cloud. Your dependability is beyond measure, Lord. It reaches the clouds. There is no limit to your faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I was called into fellowship. Fellowship is communion. To commune, it means to come together like this. The two become one. The husband and wife commune together. The church communes together as one body. We've been called into that fellowship with His Son. In His Son. With His Spirit living in us. Therefore, His faithfulness needs to flow out of us. His faithfulness in our ability to be depended on. Because see, we'll get into this in a second, but dependent, to be dependent goes both ways. I am dependable, but I'm also dependent on. And we'll see how that takes place in a second. Hebrews 10:3 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. See, we hold on to God because His promises are true. We know He is faithful to every word that He speaks to us. Every word that He speaks to us about, He is faithful to. So if His character is being formed in us, we are created in His image, we are being formed and perfected by His hand. That means God wants to work this out within me right now. That we're in the process of being molded in this area. Of being dependable. This is a character of God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Well, what does that have to do with being dependable? What does that have to do with even the faithfulness of being dependable? If I'm reflecting the image of God, I'm reflecting His faithfulness and His holiness. I'm walking in with His Spirit. I'm walking in with His truth. To be holy means to be pure, means to be without blemish, means that there is nothing, no black mark around me. Now, I know I can't be holy without His Spirit in me, without His blood covering my sins, without Him taking me and forming me into His image. It is only when I am clothed in His righteousness that I am holy. It is His Spirit, His holiness in me that makes me holy. But that comes with the whole package of faithfulness. That what I'm bringing the whole package. I'm bringing it all in before the Lord. See, faithfulness basically means I'm honoring the words I say before God. I'm honoring those words. I'm staying true to those in faithfulness. I'm keeping the promises I make before God. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it even if I wake up today and I don't feel like it. Okay? And everyone who's been in a relationship here knows there are those days you don't feel like liking the person you're in the relationship with. But that doesn't mean you're done with them. My wife's smiling over there. That doesn't mean you back out. You honor the promise. I am going to love you. I'm going to honor you, not because I feel like it, but because I said this to God. And I'm staying faithful to God in this. I'm staying true to God in this. Oh, I don't feel like getting up early to, you know, spend time in prayer. Well, if you made that vow to God, you do it. If that's what He led you to make, or else you shouldn't have made it. Getting up Sunday mornings, getting up to minister to people. Let me tell you, there are times when I have to meet and encourage people in the middle of the week and I'm just dead. And my body, I have nothing to give, physically and emotionally. And I know many in this room can testify to this. But that's when you go, okay, Lord, I made a promise to do this. I have to do this. I made a commitment to this. Therefore, I'm going to trust you to come and just fill me. The mistake I can make here is not saying, oh Lord, I'll trust you to do this and then just try to go through the emotions on my own. I can't do that. I will fall on my face, and I've fallen on my face many times with doing it without His strength. Emotions lie to us. The biggest liar in our head is our emotions. Because our emotions will tell us to feel something that is going to take us away from what our commitment is before God. Faithful also means blessing the person God has put before you. See, so far it's been about me, right? Me being faithful, my role. But now we're going to flip-flop it. Faithfulness and being dependable is honoring the person that I am dependable to. See, I honored, in the story I shared with you, with my family, with my parents, I honored my mom and dad when I communicated with them and let them know where I was. I honored them by asking them, hey, can I still stay out longer? I honored them with my attitude. I honor you when I am true to my word to you. I lift you up. I lift anyone up when I say to them, I will do this and stick to it. Because that shows I respect you. I respect you as a son and a daughter of the King. See, our words are powerful. And we can get into a whole thing about how our words can cut to the quick or lift up. But think about the way we talk to each other in our homes. In the things we say about in our faithfulness and dependability. Do we grudgingly agree to do something for the person? Or do we say, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do my best to get it done right. And honor them by giving them our best. That's a challenge. And the third point here is dependability and is a family trait. What am I talking about? Family is one of our biggest core values as a church. We are a church family. We spent a lot of time talking about why it's important to build family within a church. So this needs to be a family trait that we pass down as family members to the next generation that'll be raised up in this family. We talked about how healthy families communicate. We talked about how healthy families support and encourage one another. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron. You know, we talked about Ephesians, our vision, the body being equipped to minister to the body. But also healthy families are reliant upon each other. in the roles each family member plays. We're dependent on each other to fulfill the role that we all play. You know, one of the things that's come to light in the last month or so, and Tiffany and I have spent a lot of time talking about this, is how we're seeing, as much as people are stepping up and ministering and doing things in this church, we're seeing areas we need to trust and depend on other people to do. Whether it's PowerPoint, whether it's sound, whether it's children's ministry, whatever it might be, ushers, anything. And we've been able to recently, you know, identify little cracks that we need to have God lead us into filling and put people in positions that we can depend on and rely on. Because, see, burnout happens when one family member or a few family members basically carry the family. As a mom and dad, you don't want to be cleaning your teenage son's or daughter's bedroom. You don't want to have to tell them 1,000 times to do their chores. You want to depend on them. You want to build that level of trust and them be dependable, that they know, this is my role in this family. These are the dishes that I've got to do on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturday nights. And mom and dad don't want to have to say, hey, it's Tuesday night, you need to do the dishes. Or will you go clean the room? That's an added burden on the person, believe it or not. That actually causes more stress in the household of the family. That causes more tension, more burnout, more exhaustion. And any parent will tell you, sometimes it's more exhausting to tell your kid to do something than just to do it yourself. But that's not how a healthy family's supposed to be. As a church, it's the same way. You know, we realize that it's great to get things done, but I've got to learn to know that this area is done. I don't even need to think about it. I just need a report that it's done. I don't need to be thinking about this, and that, or Helen or the ushers don't need to be thinking about things that their role does not entail. As a family, we need to figure out what our role is here and commit and be dependable in that role. So the question is, why do we depend on each other? It's really simple. Why do we need to depend on each other is the big question. So there's two answers to this. One, because you need me to do what you can't. There are certain things I can do, you can't, and you need me to do it. And because I may have the skill or talent or ability or resources or strengths or connections or gifts or calling or anointing that you may not have in the specific thing, or time that you may not have in the specific thing. But the second reason why we need to depend on each other is because the work to be done requires my help or my role. The work that needs to be done for the kingdom, for our family, requires everyone's role to be fulfilled. That dependability needs to be there. See, I am dependable. Three quick points underneath this. I'm sorry, four quick points. Is I am dependent upon, number one, for the work of the kingdom. See, Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are things to be done for the work of the kingdom, and they show up or are revealed in different areas. Just because you're not, or you may not be up here with a microphone, does not mean that job back there is less important for the kingdom. Does not mean because you're not preaching to hundreds that the person down the hallway from you or the cubicle from you is not as important to be touched by you. you're dependent on to reach things and people for the kingdom that I may not be able to do at any given moment or anyone else. But we're dependent on for the work of the kingdom. That work also includes Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, freely receive, freely you give. What did Jesus say to his disciples? You are going to do far greater things than me. Why? From the sheer fact he was one, they were 12, and they were to impart, right, when his spirit falls on others. So the work of the kingdom is dependent upon them opening themselves to the Holy Spirit, receiving, and then imparting it and letting him flow in the lives of others as they live their lives. As Jesus did life with them, they are going to do life with others. As Jesus revealed the Father to them in the life he did with them for the work of the kingdom, they are now to reveal the life and the Spirit and the presence and the Father and the testimony of Jesus and the life they do with those they will touch and impart on. And just read Acts chapter 2 and 3, and you'll see how that works. We're dependent on for the work of the kingdom. We cannot do this individually. Second thing is, I'm dependent on to pass down the family trait. And we just touched on that a little bit. Impartations, wisdom, knowledge, the principles of God, the precepts of God. You know, we read in the Old Testament, train up a child. But you know what? It's more than words. It's actions. One of the reasons why we want children in service during worship is let them learn from mom and dad and other adults how to worship. Let them not grow up being afraid to raise their hands before the Lord or fall on their knees before the Lord. A lot of us grew up in churches where it was taboo to do that. If you start clapping, they'll ask you to stop. And you know what? It took a long time for some of us, including myself, to break free of those things. Shared with you last year, it was only last August where I finally felt freedom to jump before the Lord, you know? Because that was never passed down to me or taught. It was never revealed by the actions of those. So you, the adult, you, the worshiper, you, the spiritual mother or father, no matter how old you are, because you can be a teenager and be a spiritual mother or father to somebody. Those you would mother and father are dependent on you to pass down our family traits. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will then be able to teach others also. Pass them down. Paul passed down and imparted upon his wisdom, knowledge, presence, Spirit of God on Timothy. Now he's saying, Timothy, find yourself some people you can do that to so then they can turn around and do it to other people. Our vision about equipping the saints is everyone in every ministry in perfection as we look ahead, as we strive to, would have somebody there mentoring. They're mentoring the next generation, one way or another. That's our heart. That's our vision. And we're making a mistake and we're not passing down our family values and traits if we don't. If every one of us is not mentoring somebody or embracing somebody, say, hey, let's do life together in this area. I know I need to do a better job of taking someone with me when I go to pray for somebody, whether it's in the hospital or at home. But in every area of ministry, take someone with us and walk together. Never walk alone. Teach them the family traits. Deuteronomy 6:1 through 3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments while the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and keep his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson all the days of your lives, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that you may dwell, that it may dwell with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. So as you enter the land, because we know the old generation's gone, new generation is entering the land. As you enter the land, make sure what you have learned, what the Lord taught you, even in your mistakes, you pass down the laws of the Lord, the love of God, the truth of God. See, in our homes, we need to first reflect the love of God. I mean, out of everything, if there's no love, we've got a problem. Key family trait is love, love, love. Now, love can be tough love, but it's the love of God. It's that unconditional love of God of, I will walk with you. You messed up, I'll walk with you to try to get it right before God and before man. But love, let's walk together. And within that love, a love for God keeps is the bond that bonds us to his ways and his truth and his precepts and principles. And in that love for God is what bonds us to one another, that compels me to want to pass on what God has given me. It works together. Romans 1:11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift, that you may be established." Again, passing down. Man, if God has poured into me, I want to pour out to you. None of us should ever go to a conference or a retreat or to some kind of training and come back and say, "Oh, I had a great time." Man, you wish you were there, and that's it. It's, let me come back, Lord, with what you have poured into me, and now show me how and who I can pour it out from. How I can impart it to somebody else and just encourage them and build them up. Anything I learn new, I want to pass on. I don't want to hold it in because I'm the pastor or I have this position. I'm part of this family. You're part of this family. I want this family to be just like, as God is faithful to Abraham, that your seed shall be like the sands, you know? Your generation to generation. Your people are promised like the sands. I want this family's destiny and the seeds and the future generation to go to the sands. You know, I think a lot about how we can change the world. And it simply happens by me changing, sharing with you, and what God is doing in me, so that you can share with somebody else, they can share with somebody else, so that they will take it to the far corners of the world. It's really that simple. That's how we change the world. We don't need a television station. That helps, but we don't need to do that. We don't need to be on the radio. Yes, it's a tool that God might give us someday, but we don't need to do that. What we simply need is actually live what God is pouring into us. Live it out and pass it on. And be diligent in doing those things. And then we see the world changing, our community changing. Why is it important to be dependent on each other? Upon you for the things that God has instilled within me. You're dependent on me. See, God has given me things that you're dependent on. My gift might be preaching or teaching, so you might be dependent on that. But within it is to plant something, to stir something that God will take and grow in you. I've been blessed the last 3 summers to have a young man by my side to pour into, that they can take it somewhere else. 2 it was Bobby Jr. Last year it was Daniel Sin. And it was kind of cool to work with them. And then, you know, we've also had the Pace team trying to pour into as much as I can into Levi and Scott. Lately, it seems like we've kind of been talking more. But the Lord has just been blessing that. Because I want to take whatever God has given me and pass it down. You're depending on me because God has given me something that you need. That you need in your life. We've been given every spiritual blessing, every spiritual gift, every personal gift, which is the way God created you with your gifts and talents and abilities. You know this in 1 Corinthians 12:12-18. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, whether and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? For the whole body were one eye, where would we be hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would we be smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He is pleased. Do you realize, those of you who call yourself members of this family, think about this. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as He pleased. That you're sitting here today, you call this church your family because God has set you here. See, I don't choose the parents I am birthed to. God chose that. The fact that you're here today, God chose, set you as He pleased into this body. And He did not set you in this body to take up oxygen or take up space. He set you to fulfill the role because you have something I don't have. You will see and know something I will not see or know. You'll be able to do something or touch somebody just by your personality. Because you will connect with someone that I may not be able to connect with because of my personality. See, I am dependent upon for the things that God has instilled in me. You are dependent on for what God has created you to be. And finally, and I'll close with this, I am dependent upon for the role I play in the kingdom. I play a specific role in the kingdom. See, not just the work of the kingdom, but the specific role of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12:27-31 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. He's appointed these in the church. First apostles, then prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Everyone, and we're starting to see the gifts and the role people are playing in the kingdom. See, understand something. This is really, really important. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they go hand in hand with the gifts. The strengths and talents that we are given by God that we just read about, they are all meant not just to edify the family, but to be manifest the love of God to those outside the family, to bring them into the family. What do I mean by that? Have you ever been to somebody's family gathering and you left their picnic or barbecue and go, wow, that was so much fun. They're such an awesome family. You just feel so much happiness, or, man, they're just a fun family, or the loving family. It was really cool. Apply that to this church. Why was that experience so wonderful? Maybe you connected with shared interests with somebody. Maybe you connected with shared talents with somebody. Maybe shared experiences, something that God allowed you to go through, or God showed you that you're able to relate to them or them relate to you. The same thing goes with someone who's an apostle, has the gift of being an apostle, evangelistic gifts, or a prophetic gift, or those who are teachers or encouragers, or those who God chooses to work miracles in their lives, or through their lives, or gifts of healings or helps or administration or tongues or whatever it might be. These things are all meant to minister to the body, to strengthen the family, and to manifest the love of God in that family to those outside that family. We've talked many times about how the whole purpose of the prophetic, how the whole purpose of healing, when you're praying for someone for healing, the whole purpose of words of knowledge and words of wisdom, when those things are unfolding, is to simply love the person that you're communicating these things through. Because if I'm not loving you as these things are coming out of me, man, I'm quenching what God wants to do. Because that's not God. Jesus loved on people. The disciples were imparted with the Spirit of God. That was the Spirit of love, because God is love. He loved on people. They loved on people. It's the love of God that draws all men unto salvation. And it's the love of God that keeps men in their salvation, walking in His presence, choosing to commit to a life of growing in the Spirit of God. It's His love. So I'm dependent on the role I play in the kingdom. And if my role is that of a prophet, if my role is that of an intercessory prayer warrior, I need to do it in love, to love my family and reveal the love of God to those outside my family so they can feel comfortable. They can feel like they want to be a part of this family. Because every one of us that's walked away from someone's gathering feeling that love, feeling a part of that family, have walked away saying, I can't wait till they do it again. I want to go back. When's the next barbecue? When's the next party? How cool would it be that that's what we hear about our home groups? That's what we're hearing about when we gather in Sunday morning service. How we gather in somebody's backyard. When we gather at the beach. How cool would it be when that's taking place? That, hey, when we run into somebody and they're with their friends and they say, hey, this is so-and-so, and man, they're from here, and this is what happened when I was with them, and well, you got to check them out. The love of God is an evangelistic tool. And I'll even tell you, it's the most powerful tool. Because without it, can we really say we're evangelizing? Or are we just going through the motions? The love of God seeps in everything we do. So this is why it's so important to have that character quality of being dependable. Because God has called us to it. It's His character. And your family is reliant on it. His kingdom is dependent on it. Would you stand with me right now? As we enter this time of just commitment and prayer, feel like first thing we need to do, Holy Spirit spoke to me about this morning, is, you know, we want the vows, the promises, the things we say to honor God. But I think many of us have said things with our mouth that revealed the condition of the heart in the past that we need to break. We've made some inner vows that have not been right, that have not been of God. We've said some things and made commitments consciously that we've lived on subconsciously even, that need to be broken. So Holy Spirit, right now, we ask, Holy Spirit, come and bring revelation to each one of us about any inner vows that we have made that were not of you. We ask that you just bring them to the forefront of our minds right now and heart. Bring them into revelation. Any promises that we made Lord, thank you for this revelation and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing it to light. So I pray, God, that you would forgive me for making this vow or these vows. I repent for making this vow or these vows. And in the name of Jesus, I break it. I break this unholy vow in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for your grace that covers and forgives. Now that I have repented and changed my mind about the vow, that's what repentance means, change your mind. And it is broken in Jesus' name. I ask you now, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, speak to me about commitments I need to make before you right now. That you want me to choose to be dependable in. That you would help me to maintain and make pure vows before you.